perhaps with Sam out for a minute to run an errand, I can probably take the opportunity to try to set the guideline for where we want to go in this particular study. In the first study, we looked at the assembly, the grand work of God in calling out a company for his praise, for his glory. We looked at purpose. We looked at ways that the New Testament illustrates for us the great truth of the assembly. Now, what we want to do now is we want to make that transition. We started to earlier, make that transition to what does this mean and the implication of this for what is termed the local assembly. So perhaps the very first thing we want to do is define what is the local testimony, the local assembly. And then if you look at the outline, there are at least three features that are marked out and called out for discussion, and that is terms that we use so easily and readily. What do they really mean? It was alluded to earlier this morning, Matthew 18:20. Gathered unto the name of the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? In Hebrews, the other verse that is outlined, or the question that would like to be answered, what does it mean to gather unto Christ outside the camp? And basically, you want to get a handle on what constitutes, what's the definition, what constitutes a local assembly. And then in the third session, we want to get into the very practical things about, well, what is it that we do and why is it that we do what we do in the local assembly. So for this session, it's pretty much just a transition from the reality that we discovered this morning of the truth of the assembly before God and its purpose. Now, how does that translate? What is its implication when we come to this matter of the local assembly? Perhaps starting with what is defined as, what is the local assembly defined as?
We never see the word local assembly in the New Testament. That does not mean that there are not local assemblies, but we don't find that term precisely. Local assembly.
1 Corinthians 12:27. Ye are body of Christ, not the body of Christ. Ye are body of Christ, that's local. The Corinthian was a local assembly. You might turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1.
No, we're doing that.
1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Sanctified? Yes, they were sanctified. Yet there was sin there. There was division there. There was trouble there. Some denied the resurrection. Misuse of gifts. And yet they were the assembly at Corinth. They were sanctified. They were in Christ Jesus. Not Jesus Christ, but Christ Jesus. That's different. Christ Jesus is the glorified man. Mentioned 50 times. 49 times by Paul, once by Peter. There's therefore no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. He still is Jesus Christ. Never minimize that. But upcoming and resurrection and ascension, it's the man Christ Jesus. So they were in Christ Jesus. They were called saints. They were anything but saintly, but they were called saints. You and I call saints. With all in every place that call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. So the company of believers, whether there were two or three or 200 or 300 at Corinth, made up a local gathering. They were still meeting in one place, it says, in 1 Corinthians 11. They were still meeting in one place, a large assembly at Corinth. So whether there's two or three, two is fellowship, three is fullness of fellowship. So it's good to have two or three. That makes up an assembly. Where two or three, not come together, but two or three are gathered together. Gathered by the Spirit of God to the lovely name of our, in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that makes up a local assembly. Where two or three are gathered together unto my name, there am I in the midst of them.
Is location important?
Pardon?
Is location important?
Well, although the word local is not there,
yeah,
the word assemblies in plural,
yeah,
is there. And the Apostle Paul says, as I have written to all the other assemblies. So the assemblies is really what bring forth the thought of local assembly. But it's not any local assembly. We have to understand that the ground of a local assembly is a company that is meeting on the ground representing the whole assembly universally. But they are local assemblies. And we have brought before us that Matthew 16 is that which is universal. Matthew 18, just to make it understandable and simple, is that which is local. There's an issue. And that issue, if it's not resolved, personal trespass, the third step, you might say, is you bring it before the assembly. So when the scripture says you bring it before the assembly, he's not talking about the whole assembly universally, because you never can bring it to all the assembly universally, but you can bring it before that local gathering, that local assembly that is meeting on the ground of the unity of the one body, representing the whole assembly universally. And that's why when a local assembly makes a decision, it says in Matthew 18, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth, although it was local, yet the effect of it is universal. It shall be bound in heaven. That's the aspect of universal. So there is local assemblies, but local assemblies need to represent the whole assembly universal.
And add to what John said, Matthew 18:20 is assembly administration. You both, if you your odds with your brother, you go to him, take one. If he can't be reconciled, you take one or two. If he won't listen, you take two more, not three. And if he won't listen, you take it to the local assembly. And if any two of you agree on anything on earth, should be done to your Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together under my name, there am I in the midst. So the verse itself is taken out of local administration. Mm-hmm. But as early Christians, as brethren, we feel this text can be taken out of context. It doesn't become a pretext. Just to meet to the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 18:20. Brethren, other early Christians have always used this verse, just to meet to the Lord's name alone.
Right, because the verse begins with the word for, which indicates this is why this is so, because of this principle.
Amen.
And that's why we say that. But I wanted to add to also, we quoted 1 Corinthians as a proof text for the local assembly. In effect, we have the same with Ephesus, we have the same with Philippi, we have the same with Colossae. Mm-hmm. These were letters that the Spirit of God had for us, written to a local expression of the assembly at large in that city where they were gathered.
If we go back a page in our Bible, physically, to Romans chapter 16.
Matthew 16.
Romans. One page back, Romans chapter 16, we'll see that there were at least three or four gatherings. Rome was a large city in its day, and it was impossible, perhaps, to have every Christian under one roof. And so in chapter 16, he says, verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Verse 5, likewise greet the church or assembly, same word, likewise greet the church that is in their house. And so we have another example of a company of believers, we don't know, we're not told how many, that were meeting in one local setting. Verse 14. Salute Aniscritus, Philegion, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. So it has been suggested that there was another group here that was with them. Verse 15. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. And we see in 2 John the church, which is this sister who was meeting. So there were different groups or different companies of believers meeting in different locales. And we have